We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you and welcome to the Bill Michaels Show. We are coming to you live. We are in Oshkosh today as we are on tour, and we are glad that you are taking a listen to us. We're at Menominee Nation Arena here, home of the Wisconsin Herd. Herd tipping off tonight against the Windy City Bulls this evening. And we're talking a lot about the Wisconsin Herd. Obviously, there's a connection there because of the Milwaukee Bucks, and everybody has jumped on the Bucks bandwagon, which means the Herd has had a lot of excitement here in the area as well. But there's also a lot of people looking over the fence to see what the Green Bay Packers are going to do, whether or not they're going to bounce back after that less than stellar performance against the L.A. Chargers. And we'll talk with Paul Emmick coming up here momentarily. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's bring in Paul now, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emmick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emmick, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you been, buddy?
A little under the weather, but otherwise doing well. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay. There's a lot of people that have been falling ill over the last week or two. It seems like the creeping crud is going around and kind of grabbing up everybody, so hope you get better soon. I said 35-24, Packers get a win, and three things that I think will get them a win. One is pressure on the quarterback. Two is not stopping but slowing down or at least containing McCaffrey. And then the third thing will be the running game of the Green Bay Packers. That offensive line needs to block better and keep them off Aaron Rodgers and open up the run game. And those are my kind of three keys to this ball game. And how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I look at more in terms of, like, things to watch. And my biggest curiosity for sure, or I would say 1A and 1B, is in a very general way, how this team comes out. They know they have a bye. They know that they had an absolute garbage game a week ago. I would say that probably most of them feel quite embarrassed by that game. So how do they come out, right? How do they show up? And, you know, is this just like a complete take it to and the Panthers are a good team, but they're still an inferior team. So, you know, do you just take it to an inferior opponent at home, knowing that you have something to prove after a bad game last week, a no-show? There's worse than a bad game. There's a no-show. They were a no-show. But then part B to that is Davante Adams, okay, he came back. He got 11 targets, and yet, like, Aaron Jones was forgotten, and the running game was forgotten, and really the whole offense was completely out of sync. It looked disjointed. And, of course, you don't get your superstar wide receiver back and get worse, but yet in a one-game sample size, they did. So I really want to see what Matt LaFleur does. Does he maybe and not just LaFleur, but, of course, Rodgers, who's ultimately making that, you know, who to throw to decision after the ball is snapped. Is he going to maybe distribute more evenly? Is it going to be still Adams is great and he needs to be force-fed? Because I do think one of many elements of the game last week was the Packers got on a roll in the absence of their best pass catcher, one of the best pass catchers in the league. And it's funny how sometimes bringing that back in and, you know, maybe going to him more than you had been distributing so evenly is sometimes a very disjointing experience. So really curious to see how LaFleur and Rodgers adapt to week two of Devontae back and seeing if they go with you know, featuring Devontae like they did and like they had before his injury, or if it's kind of what worked so well while Devontae was out, which is a very evenly spread offense that featured Aaron Jones.
We talked earlier in the week about Matt LaFleur's comments after the game that said, hey, you know, we really didn't get into our game plan. I would expect that this team not only gets into it, but probably really closely sticks to the script, at least the first 15 or 20 plays that are scripted. And I would assume we are going to see a lot of what you just mentioned, spreading the ball around, running it a little bit, throws out of the backfield, throws to tight ends, throws to the open receiver rather than forcing the ball in, not going for everything on third and six, third and seven, third and eight.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot more of that, at least through the first 20 plays, wouldn't you assume?
Well, and also let's not forget some offensive line discipline, because I think of all the things that went wrong in L.A. a week ago, the most, like, glaring was the offensive line deficiency. It doesn't matter if LaFleur wants to run the ball or Rodgers wants to distribute the ball evenly across the pass catchers. If these guys, and last week was a home environment in L.A., now it's a home environment for real in Green Bay. If these guys under, you know, positive conditions can't get off the snap correctly and false starts and really ugly holding penalties, then it doesn't really matter what the rest does. So I think that five-man unit up front has a lot to prove. But there is really, it's like, if you really think about it going this way, like, Bill, when Kevin Holden was in for you earlier in the week, one thing I mentioned was, like, you know, hey, 7-2 Packers fans, like, you know, this is a good season so far, calm down. And yet it's on the other end, it's like, you have an undefeated 49ers team who you're going to play as soon as you come back from your bye. You have a 7-1 Saints team. You have a Vikings team that's only one game behind you. You have Seattle with the same record as you. So, you know, if you have another slip-up here against Carolina, I think, you know, and then the players go into the bye week. There's nothing worse, Bill, and players have said this throughout the years, and you know this to be true. There's nothing worse than, especially when you're having a pretty good year, and then you go into the bye on a bad loss. Even worse, on back-to-back losses, and you start to have this doubt, and you start to have this, you know, where did things go wrong? How do you go from 7-1 to 7-3? And geez, now we're not only looking up at San Francisco, but we're looking up at New Orleans and Seattle. And now, you know, let's just say Minnesota was to win. Now it's the tie for even the division lead. And now you might be sneaking in as a 4, 5, 6 seed. And like, a 7-1 needs to probably become, having become 7-2, needs to then become 8-2, because there's so little wiggle room, I think, for an additional mistake. And again, knowing that these players do not want to go into a bye week having had a no-show in L.A., followed by a home loss to a team that they should beat. All said, man, there is so many different aspects of the team to prove. I mentioned the offensive line, but to come out sharp, to put last week behind you and have some feel-goods going into a week off.
What can we extrapolate from last night's contest between the Raiders and the Chargers? Raiders getting the win 26-24. Yeah. They got off to an early lead, and after that, Phillip Rivers and company settled down, and they were able to kind of protect the quarterback a little bit better after the pick six and the other early interception. And then they settled down and started to kind of get their offense in gear, and the Raiders defensively played extremely well, and also losing Ingram in that ball game for the Chargers. That was a big loss, because he was a guy that was just a one-man wrecking crew against Aaron Rodgers, him and Bosa. Two-man wrecking crew, actually. But between those two guys, they really pressured the quarterback. And they didn't have that same tandem late in that ball game last night to put pressure on Derek Carr. So what do we take away from the wins and the loss of the Green Bay Packers if you want to look at their, say, strength of opponents, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting when you have especially two West Coast teams that you've already played both of, and then you get to see them play each other. I mean, you have back-to-back weeks against those two teams, and then they play each other. But for me, Bill, Thursday night is like an entirely different league. When people get upset about the Packers losing to Philadelphia, you know, because it was at home and everything else, like, I think Thursdays are just the most unpredictable night in the NFL every week, because I just watched the Chargers. Didn't they just play? Like, it's weird when you see a team play, you know, Sunday afternoon, and especially like a 3:25 Central kickoff, and then you blink and they're playing again at 7 o'clock on a Thursday. So, you know, I'm cautious to ever draw conclusions from a Thursday night game. Unless it's a team that had come off a bye or something. But I don't even know if that's actually allowed. Now that I say that out loud, I don't think you could go from a bye to a Thursday. It's always like you try to win that game and do what you can to win it. But I don't know if you've ever had that similar thought throughout the years, but I'm cautious to draw conclusions from Thursday games.
Yeah, it's tough. The only thing I can draw is if the road team plays well, because traditionally the road teams have not fared very well against the home teams. And just because of the turnaround, trying to get your body healthy, jumping on a plane the night before, you don't get much practice time, you don't really get much study time, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're on the road, you're playing another game, whereas the home team at least gets that kind of extra day. So the road teams have not performed well. So that's the only thing that I've ever taken away from that. I think it boldens the fact that the Raiders turned out to be a pretty good football team. So they're over 500. They're 5-4. So that counts as another team over 500 the Packers beat, considering that nobody wants to give them credit for the win against the Bears, because even though it was a matchup of 2-0-0 teams and all the pressure of opening up the season on Thursday night, so, okay, it was a bad win for the Packers. Well, then again, they beat the Raiders, and the Raiders are an above 500 team. So you lose one and you gain one. I think you look at the Packers' schedule and you say their strength of schedule is much, much better when some of these teams that they have knocked off continue to win. So I guess that's the way I look at it, but I don't know what it's going to mean come Sunday, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told me after the Raiders game, when the Packers played Oakland, and then after the Chargers game last weekend, like which of these two teams is a more formidable AFC West opponent, I mean, the Chargers looked – the Packers were awful against the Chargers, but I was really impressed. You mentioned Bosa and Ingram. I mean, my goodness, that is, they just made Bulaga especially, but the whole offensive line look terrible. And how different would that Oakland game against the Packers have looked if not for the Derek Carr fumble before halftime? Because that was a really close game, 30 minutes or 29 minutes into it, and then, of course, the whole thing shifted. But, and then, of course, at that point, Green Bay's offense runs up the score in the second half, and you have Tim Boyle for the final 5 minutes. So that one got away from the Raiders really, really quickly. And so it's not like, it's not like the Raiders came to Lambeau and, didn't put up a decent fight against the Packers. But the Chargers, to me, I thought were going to use the momentum of that Packers win, and I'm sure they sure thought so, and use that to, try to go and chase the Chiefs or something, and really try to be formidable in the AFC West. And that's what average to below average teams do, is they think they have that moment and that season turning, a momentum shift, and then they suck again. That kind of summarizes probably the Chargers season at home.
Hey, Paul, real quick, who wins? Prediction.
Yeah, no, I think the Packers should win. I think probably more importantly than should, they need to win. I think you don't go into the bye on back-to-back losses after starting 7-1. I do think there's something to be said. I think I mentioned this to you on Monday, and I might have kind of gotten you on the side of thinking that way a little bit, which was, hey, week 11 byes are great, and they also are terrible. They're terrible in the sense that you're just burned out. What I saw, there were so many things that you could glean from the Packers' no-show last weekend. But I think one of them is they need a break. They need a bye. They need a week off. That's what they look like, maybe mentally as much or more than physically.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't think they're going to have a no-show 2 weeks in a row. I think they had a wake-up call in the sense that we can't just show up, say, we're the Packers, we're 7-1, this is how good we are, Rodgers is playing great, the defense, da-da-da-da. Like I think that was – That much-needed wake-up call. The Panthers are a good team. They have an MVP running back candidate. How often can you say a team has an MVP candidate at running back, especially because he's so multifaceted with Christian McCaffrey? But I think if the Packers lose this game, it's a long bye week. Not just like on your show with angry callers and tweeters, but for the guys as they go back to their respective homes and have a week of vacation or whatever. So I do think they'll come out and win. I do think, by the way, and this is something that came up with Kevin Holden on your show earlier in the week, was I think McCaffrey can have, 175 yards. It just needs to be like the only way that Carolina moves the ball and the Packers could still win, because I'm sure he's going to have a huge day. But I will pick the Packers to win. I thought your score prediction sounded a tad high. I'll probably settle in more at like the 27-20 range. for a Packers win.
All right. Sounds good, man. Appreciate it as always. Get better, and we'll talk again on Monday.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. See ya.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years have been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, it's also brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. We are going to be at Libby's, Libby, Montana, the former Libby, Montana's, Libby's on Donjus Bay Road in Mequon next Thursday night, 6 to 8. We hope to see you there. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle out and about yet again. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. That is coming up next.
They sack him for the third time.
After a tough loss on the road, the Packers are back home at Lambeau this Sunday to take on the Carolina Panthers. Your place to talk Packers. AM 1250 and 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We're broadcasting live at the Menominee Nation Arena, home of the Wisconsin Herd, where the Herd opened up their 2019-2020 schedule tonight against the Windy City Bulls here this evening. That's a tip time of 7 o'clock. Going to have more than a few names you might recognize that have been to the association, if you will, including Dragan Bender of the Bucks, who is now a member of the Herd, at least for a temporary period of time. But big night tonight. Well-received in this area as well, so looking forward to that. And this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at the Biofuels Association. We've been telling you about the Biofuels Association because a lot of people go out and buy the EVs, the electronic vehicles, the electric vehicles. And you're trying to, you know, kind of save Mother Earth, so to speak, and also try to save some money along the way. One of the things for those that may have flex fuel vehicles, if you don't realize it, you're doing 85% of what the EVs are doing because you're not burning the fossil fuels. You're burning more of the agricultural fuels. The Corn Growers Association want to say thank you for doing that, and it really does help them. I stopped today on the way up here, and there was a couple of people filling up with a Quick Trip with the E85 and the unleaded 88. So we've been trying to educate you on the different fuels that are out there and the way the money stays here in the state of Wisconsin, and it helps the economy, and it kind of has a trickle-down effect, like ripples on a pond. So, you know, continue to kind of look and get the facts about your vehicle, about the fuels that are out there, about the alternatives, about the alternates when it comes to whether you go with unleaded, super unleaded, which is the high octane, or you go with just regular unleaded, or the E88 or the E85, I mean, all of that kind of stuff. You can check it all out at wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org. And continue to educate yourself and continue to save some money and do some good stuff. Let's do some buy or sell while we're talking about it.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play buy or sell. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Time now for some buy or sell, and Radio Joe Zanzola standing by back in our game day studios, so to speak. And Joe, what you got going on?
So I'm literally going to do the same exact buy or sell that I did yesterday with Kevin Holden, who was filling in for you. I'll
Perfect.
Be curious to see what you buy and what you sell, and I'll tell you what Kevin, what his answer was after
okay.
the fact. So number one, the Packers hold Christian McCaffrey to less than 200 yards of total offense.
I'm buying that. I think there's going to be a steady. Now, other teams have concentrated on McCaffrey, don't get me wrong. But I think with their bend but don't break, they give up, you know, if I had to pick a McCaffrey total, I'd say, you know, maybe 150 yards, something like that, and maybe a score. I think if you go much more than that, you get over 200 yards and you give me, say, two or three scores, you lose the ball game. So I'm going to say 156 yards, maybe a score, and the Packers' bend but don't break defense is still there and still intact, and maybe a turnover or two. But if the Packers start out fast and begin to put points on the board, you may eliminate McCaffrey on the ground and make him more of a receiver. And at that point in time, then you start getting pressure on the quarterback if you can, and things may turn in the Packers' favor, maybe with a turnover or two. So I'm going to say about 157 yards and a score.
Buy or sell.
Kevin bought that as well. Moving along, don't expect the Packers' offense to be more balanced versus Carolina. In other words, a balanced running attack, utilizing Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in the passing game, but then also being able to give Davante Adams the football as much as possible.
I am going to sell in it. I'm going to buy the fact that they're going to spread it around. They're going to go back to what they were prior to the L.A. game. I just can't imagine you coming out and trying to force the ball 11 more times to Davante Adams. Remember, it wasn't like Devontae caught it for 180 yards. Devontae was held under 100 yards and didn't get in the end zone. You don't force it to in that direction 11 times if you have minimal success. You got to get it to everybody. You got to spread it around, and that will open up things for everybody else. And I think Matt LaFleur was very specific when he said, you know, hey, we never got into our game plan. He wasn't lying. They never got into their game plan, which is one of the reasons the offense looks so inept. So I think they go back to what got them there. Davante Adams is a key cog in that, but he's not the only cog in that, as we kind of saw in that game, at least through three quarters this past weekend. So I think the offense gets back to being a spread it out, take what's given to you, hit the open guy, run the ball, try to offset the pass rush, and you're going to be good to go. We're going to go back to see what we saw 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so you are buying that.
I'll buy that.
Kevin Holden bought that as well.
Buy or sell.
All right, you guys, two for two. Number three, it will be an insult if Craig Counsell doesn't win Manager of the Year.
How does he not? What more does he? I mean, obviously he has to win a World Series and he gets it, right? But how does he not? It would be, and here's the reason why. As good as Martinez was, and Martinez did a fantastic job in Washington because they started out so incredibly slow. They had lost Bryce Harper. Everybody thought that, well, you know, they got good pitching, but they're never going to have the offense to sustain. And then after that awful, ugly middle of, you know, April and May, then they turned it around and became the best team in baseball. So there's kudos there. But for everything, Craig Counsell lost every starter in the rotation. And he had numerous injuries and guys that underperformed, and yet he still was able to get his team not only to get to the postseason, but to overcome a couple of teams to do it. How does he not win it? And after what he did last year, now he's done it in back-to-back seasons and proven that, you know what, if we have to do it in a patchwork way, I've got enough smarts to do it. I give him all the credit in the world. If he does not win it, I would consider it to be insulting and that they're just kind of poo-pooing a small market team.
You guys are now 3 for 3. You bought that one as well.
Buy or sell.
Okay, number four. If there's any player on the Bucks that will get the most scrutiny this season, it's Chris Middleton.
That's a great question. You know what? I'm going to sell. My scrutiny, me personally, is all – I mean, I know it's easy to say, but it's all on Giannis. Because Giannis, for this team to get a championship, and that's what this season's all about, to get to the finals. Giannis has to be better at the free throw line. He's got to be better from outside. He's got to be the option inside. He's just got to be better. And what I liked the other night was when they beat the Clippers, and that was a fantastic win. I don't care what anybody says. That was a great win on the road. But when he goes and does the postgame presser, and he's sitting there, and they say, you know, hey, Giannis, you know, boy, you're playing well. You're the reigning MVP, and it's that. And he stops and says, I've got a lot of room to grow. I've got to get better. Man, that starts with him. So all the scrutiny. And remember, I'm also going back to that conversation where he basically told him, hey, do your best to try to kind of accentuate, but keep the band together. And I'll win you a championship. That scrutiny, that's taken the world upon his shoulders. So he brought the scrutiny on, so I'm going to scrutinize him, but I'm also going to give him a ton of praise when he plays well, and he had a big, big game the other night. So for everything that Giannis is and for everything that Giannis believes and says, I believe the integrity of the man says that he's going to stay in Milwaukee, and I believe the guy can get better, and I believe the guy's got the work ethic and the leadership to be able to take this team to the promised land. So I don't think a matter of a championship is if – it's more so when. And so all my scrutiny goes to Giannis.
Well, you and Kevin both sold on it. However, he said Eric Bledsoe, not Giannis.
Could be Eric Bledsoe, but the straw that stirs the drink is Giannis, so that's where I went with it.
Buy or sell.
All right, last one for you. College hoops. Steve Wojciechowski has more pressure than Greg Gard to succeed right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Woj just sign a new contract?
Didn't
he this past offseason sign a contract extension?
I know Guard did.
I could have swore Wojo did. If he didn't do it this year, this offseason, it was last offseason. Maybe my memory escapes me, but I don't think so. I think he's just got to get to the tournament. Now, they want him to do better in the tournament, yes. But I, for where they're picked, what, fourth or fifth in the Big East, I guess? I think his scrutiny is just get to the postseason, and they're happy with that. So I don't think he's on a hot seat. I mean, unless things went horribly wrong. Now, if because of the Hauser brothers leaving and Howard doesn't work out and their scoring prowess goes down and they, you know, they have issues and there continues to be a little bit of infighting or whatever, some of the rumors that we heard under, you know, kind of rippling under the surface of the water, then maybe if you don't have a successful season. But I think they really like what they've got in Woj, and I think that, you know, he's brought in some quality, you know, some quality pieces, but it's very quiet. I think the expectation level has gone down over at Marquette. While they want to win, the expectations have gone down. So, no, I'm going to sell in it. I don't think he's under much scrutiny this year at all. I think he's just kind of sailing along.
So, wait a minute. So, you think Greg Gard then has more pressure than Wojo? Because we're comparing
Gard,
the two.
Yeah. No, I think Greg Gard does.
Has more pressure. Okay.
Yeah, I think he does. I really do. I think Gard has more pressure. Because, remember, they were coming out of back-to-back Final Fours and a run at a national title, and Gard was expected to just kind of maintain that level of program, and then because he was the top recruiter for Bo, he was supposed to, you know, kind of teach everything he knew. And I will say this, though. Losing Green, your assistant coach, because of the tragedy that happened to his family and that shakeup in that basketball family, that, and I hate to say this, but that level of difficulty went up when you lose a lot in the guy you trusted as your assistant coach. So maybe if you don't have the season that's expected and it's a little bit subpar, maybe that buys you another year. I don't want to use that as the excuse that he should have another year, but it does disrupt what you have going on, and they had to sustain that terrible tragedy. So maybe that buys him the other year, but I think there's a lot of scrutiny on Greg Gard to win this year with what he has.
All right, well, Kevin, he bought that. He actually thinks Wojo has more pressure than Gard. So that was really the only one you guys had differing views on.
Yeah, and I, you know what? That's one where I feel strongly, but not as strongly. So I could see it probably going either way, to be quite honest with you. So there you have it. That is buy or sell. That's the way we do it when we come back. Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette is going to join us. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends over at Neumel Medical Center, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate, low T treatments as well. Make sure you stop in for that if you're looking for better energy, mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. And also a reminder as well that they've got to the Neumel Heads Up Plays of the Week. That is coming up in just a little bit. Stay tuned. Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette right around the corner. We'll be back after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. We are glad to have you. Hey, I want to say thanks to our friends over at Coach's Pub and Grill, home of the Big Boy Burger. As Cornet and the whole staff over there do a great job. We certainly appreciate them being a part of the program. I was just over there a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact. Stopped in and was talking to Cornet and some of the staff over there. And but we have a huddle coming up over there also. We got a Bill Michaels huddle that's going to be there in, I think, 3 weeks. We got Libby's next week, Kelly's the week after, and then the 26th of November, we're going to be at Coach's Pub and Grill. So hope to see you down there. Great place, and they do a lot of great charitable work. So head out to Coach's Pub and Grill. Also, thanks to Ben and the entire staff at Lake Country Doors. They do a fantastic job. Another vendor that has worked at my house. I mean, I trust these guys. Ben and his staff, they're great. Call them 262-751-2674, or you can find them on Facebook, LakeCountryGarageDoors.com, LakeCountryGarageDoors.com. Top quality garage door company. They put you first. They really do. They strive to basically provide you with the best service. I mean, everybody's got doors and quality doors and all that kind of stuff and openers and everything, but they really do a great job. Ben, and he actually brought his daughter over the other day when he came over and did some stuff at my house and got a chance to hang out with his daughter and just say hi and chat with her a little bit as Ben fixed the garage door opener that I broke. So I highly recommend them. 262-751-2674. Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, doing great. It's Football Friday. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling good. I'm glad to be back, and I'm now anticipating this weekend the first real cold weather game we've had in quite some time at Lambeau Field. Carolina coming to town. I said 35-24. Packers get a win in this one because I think they hit the reset button, and Aaron Rodgers was right. You had to just kind of rinse that one from the memory out there in L.A. So give me your thoughts on how you see this one going.
Well, a couple things. They have – although their defense doesn't rank very high in the NFL, they've sacked the quarterback an awful lot. I believe they're in the top two or three in sacks in the league.
Number one.
So they are number one. Okay. So
number one in the league in sacks.
I was playing horseshoes and hand grenades there. I was close.
There you go.
So, yeah, right. So, I think first thing is they're going to have to – they got to protect Aaron Rodgers, and they're going to have to shorten up some passes and run the ball a little bit. So, I like that. I think the Packers win. I think if they get it going away, I don't think they give up 24 points. I'm kind of with you. I'm like 35, 38 to 14 to 17, something like that.
So I said basically they have to protect Aaron Rodgers first and foremost because the offensive line was not good out in L.A. I also think that it's not McCaffrey that you have to stop. I think containing him 125 to 155, 157 yards is what I predicted. Maybe a score. If you do that, you got a really good shot of winning. If you give him 200-plus yards and two or three scores, and I think you end up losing that ball game. I think you got to contain him. You can't stop him. And then the other thing is get back to what you do best. You know, if your offensive line's blocking well, you got to be able to run the football, too. Running it and setting up the pass is as important as vice versa as the way this team used to kind of, you know, operate. I think they got to utilize both running backs out of the backfield. I think if they can do that and they can get up to 125, 130 yards between them and run the ball, say, 20 times and toss it to them out of the backfield a few times, I think you're going to win the ball game.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think what you just stated there, the most important thing is to get the running game going because that's going to get those pass rushers tired out. They run a little bit, short passes, get the ball out, don't hang on to the ball. You know, there are a couple times I thought last week that Rodgers had guys open. He had his safety valve open and for whatever reason hung on to it and threw it downfield or threw it at a tight end. But throw the ball to your safety valve or one of your running backs and sneak out at the end. That's live to fight another day and let those guys go. You never know. Look what happened In Kansas City, you threw that screen pass, and it went for 75 yards. So give those guys the opportunity to get the ball in their hand out in space and see how they do. It really, you know, the whole deal is going to be making sure that the end of the game, that 12 doesn't have any grass stains on his pants. I mean, that's the big deal. If they can do that, I think they're going to be pretty successful because I don't think their pass defense is going to be very good. And I believe the cold is going to affect them a little bit too. Probably more so than what we all think. So I feel that they're going to be just fine. I think defensively they're going to kind of right the ship a little bit there too against Iran. I mean, they tried, and I like what they're doing with the base. You know, come out with a base look and have one linebacker. But the problem is against a team that wants to run the ball, that just isn't going to cut it. So you got to have – I think they kind of learned their lessons a little bit.
So if – give me your thoughts on the secondary of this team, because I was sitting here saying today that if you Jair Alexander, we'll start there because he's taken some criticism, and every time he seems to give something up, I hear about it, and people say he's not as good as everybody says he is. I also think they don't throw at him a lot, and he's aggressive. He takes some chances. So when his chances don't pay off, he gets burned and it looks terrible, but they're not throwing at this guy consistently.
When he gets burned, he's not getting burned for 50-yard touchdowns. He's normally getting in on the tackle, and that's all you can ask for. And I agree with you. They don't throw the ball his way a ton, and he is very aggressive. Anyone who ever says that they think that Jair Alexander is not everything that people think he is, just you know, obviously you can ignore them because they don't know anything about football. That young man is an up-and-coming star in this league, not just on the Packers. He is a stud. I think you know, he's feeling very confident. So he's taking some more chances. He's going to get some wisdom, and he's going to take his chances when he knows there's a safety over the top and not just when he's playing man-to-man in the zero or man-to-man with one over the top. He's going to be a little bit smarter, but that comes with age. Right now he's a young man with a ton of confidence. Hey, I won't do anything to take that away because you could have bunch of other guys that just line up out there and get you killed. That young man is a fantastic football player. I think that the secondary, what's going to help that secondary out a bunch is if they can keep Amos in the backside and not have to bring him down into the box. That's going to help tremendously. And that's what we're going to see a whole bunch of Williams this week, because I think Williams matches up well with McCaffrey out of the backfield. So, I would think you're going to see some nickel stuff. I hope that we don't see a whole bunch of dime, but may have to. But they don't have Green. At the beginning of the season, it doesn't seem like that's a big loss, but he was pretty tough inside when they dropped him in the box, and it allowed Amos to stay deep. So, against the Bears, and when he went down, that hurt, because now you take a playmaker from your back end to your safety, and you got to play him up in the box, which he's not bad, but he's not.
Right.
That's not why they paid him a bunch of money to come to Green Bay to play in the linebacker box.
Always good, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk again on Monday and break it all down, okay?
Great. Thanks a lot for having me on. I hope you enjoy your weekend. Stay warm.
Absolutely, pal. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. That is our good buddy Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Pizza Del Rey in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Thanks to them. I want to remind you that they got a big veteran special coming up this weekend. So if you're going to stop in and grab some pizza, they treat veterans right. Also, our friends over at Sloppy Joe's, Joe Hennis and the whole staff, reminding me to remind you that they are also doing some great things for veterans. So starting because Veterans Day is approaching us on Monday, and they give $10 off all meals for all military veterans on Monday. And it easily covers well over half of the menu. So all you got to do is stop in the Sloppy Joe's. If you're going to do anything, go out to Sloppy Joe's in Hubertus, Wisconsin, right out there just north of Sussex, if you will. And a stop into Sloppy Joe's where they're giving $10 off their meals, anything, or I shouldn't say anything, but over half the menu. And if you're a veteran, stop in on Monday and get 10 bucks off because they want to say thank you to you. We've got new mail heads up plays of the week. That is coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show continues on. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler. The kickoff coming up tonight. Hopefully you stop by 5 o'clock when we start taping. And Mason Crosby, our live in-person guest this evening. Time now for the new mail heads-up plays of the week. And this one, number one, Aaron Rodgers to Jamal Williams for the Packers' only touchdown in the game versus the Chargers.
Now that last one went down to zero, basically one on the snap.
Here's a first and goal. Getting away from the heat and flipping it for the touchdown to Jamal Williams. His fifth touchdown reception of the season.
Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, CBS, credit them. There you have it, number two radio joke.
This highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Eric Bledsoe had his best showing against the Timberwolves. This beautiful pass in transition to Chris Middleton for the bucket.
Maybe they'll get 10 in the second half. What a block by Brook. He absolutely stone cold stops Jordan Bell. It's Middleton on the other end. The Bucks have hit 8 of their last 9 shots. Minnesota 2 for 7 in the corner, missing 5 of their last 6.
And number 3, and again going back to Wisconsin, Fox Sports Wisconsin, Giannis in the dunk against the Clippers.
Oh yeah. Somebody in the hallway said, I came a long way to watch Giannis dunk, and he hasn't done it yet. Well, he just got paid off.
Yes, he did. A beautiful job, Bledsoe.
In a big way, there you go, Giannis getting a slam. And that is your Neumel Heads Up Place of the Week, brought to you by our friends at the Neumel Medical Center. Don't forget, they're treating guys with ED, 98% success rate all over the state. They treat you for low T, the all-in-one weight loss program. You can't do anything if you don't call the medical experts at Neumel Medical. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. We're broadcasting live today here at the Menominee Nation Arena. We are in Oshkosh, and tonight the Wisconsin Herd, they get underway. They tip off their season. So let me give you this. Our friends over at the Score, who brought us here, our fine affiliate here in the Oshkosh area, said that, hey, if you're out there listening, and I got them in my hand, so this makes it easy. If you're out there listening, for the first person to swing by. Now, if you're by the arena, this is going to benefit you. But from what I understand, tonight is pretty much sold out. So if you want to come by, I have a parking pass for tonight, and I have not one but two floor seats to give away. So if you're in the area and you want to come by and you're listening to the program and you want to take a stab at this, come on by, and if you're the first person to walk through the door, we will hand them to you. No other catch to it. Freebies, if you will. Compliments of our friends here, our fine affiliate at the Score. So, again, we're at the Menominee Nation Arena getting ready for the Wisconsin Herd, who tip off tonight against the Windy City Bulls. They're in town. But we got a couple of floor seats and a parking pass, which I understand is like breathing air. They're so in demand. And you can come by and grab that, and we got it right here for you. So come on by and say hi. Hey, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk with our buddy Mike Clemens. He is going to be joining us. Also, Chris Raybon at the top of the hour here next. He is going to join us, the senior editor of the Action Network. We're going to start going through the list of games and the spreads for the weekend. And you got some really good games coming up this weekend. I mean, really good games. And it's not very often that you got a good Sunday and then a good Monday in back-to-back fashion coming up, but we do. And it's going to be pretty solid. So we're going to talk about the NFL schedule, because coming up on Monday night, you've got the Seahawks and the 49ers. That's going to be a good one. That is in San Fran. And you got the Vikings on the road on Sunday Night Football, 6-3 against the 5-3 Dallas Cowboys. So that's going to be a good one. So you got some good games on the docket this weekend. And plus, you've got a division rival in the NFC North to kick things off, the 3-4-1 Lions against the 3-5 Bears. So we'll talk about that as well. Got a lot of good stuff coming up. Hang in there. Another hour of the Bill Michaels Show, broadcasting live here in Oshkosh at the Menominee Nation Arena. Come on by and say hi. And if you do, you're the first one to walk through the door here in the next few minutes, I would assume. We've got some Herd Bulls tickets for you on the court and a parking pass to go along with it. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show. That is coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.